sound exactly like mine. I knew I was in the right place. Do you worry about how much someone drinks? You are not alone. Al-Anon or Alateen can help. For more information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
And now, for your holiday enjoyment, a special Labor Day program, America, a Labor of Love.
Hello and welcome to this special Labor Day celebration program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Today, all across America, proud Americans are celebrating the great labor success of our nation, the most successful labor nation in the world. But just how did we come to be the greatest labor nation? Big laboring, working hard, putting our backs and our hearts into being a part of our American labor machine. But our great success as a nation is not just our part. There is a greater part, a blessing part by Almighty God. All the way back in 1893, a teacher, a lecturer named Catherine Bates, was on her way to give a speech at a college in Colorado Springs. On her way there, she stopped and found herself on top of Pike's Peak. As she stood and stared in awe, looking out over the unbelievable sight, the beauty of our America, she later said that the words just began to flow. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Yep, right there on top of that Pike's Peak, as Catherine Bates looked over that beautiful scene, she wrote the words to the song we all know now as America the Beautiful. And it's all true, and a powerful reminder that Almighty God has blessed us all so very much as a nation. But is it enough to just sit back and let God do all the work, all the heavy lifting? Of course not. We are to do our own part by honestly laboring. As I think about my own life, I've lived in America now for well over 60 years, over 60 labor days. How did it all start out? With labor. My mother endured great labor pains to bring me into this world. But did all the labor end there? No, I was just, getting started. As a young boy growing up in Texas, my dad taught me the importance and the joy of laboring. Yep, that's what I said, the joy of labor. Now you might be saying, what's so joyful about laboring? Well, for me and millions of you out there today, we can all say truthfully that there might be sweat and hardship comes along with labor. But it is truly a joy, an enjoyable experience to work hard and then to see the fruits of our labor. And the many lessons of labor my dad taught me as a boy have served me oh so well all my life. But where are we today here in our America as we labor? Are we seeing the fruits of our labor? Or are we working so hard to tear down others with our negative talk that our labor seems to be all spent in vain? Think about it. Today, especially in our politics, today it's not so important to be right. It seems to be more important to prove your opposing side to be wrong. And that is oh so very sad. Plus, it gets us nowhere. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we just accept what others say just to keep the peace. Not at all. There's this word, conviction. It speaks to having strong core beliefs and ideals that are, well, they are who we are. And if we don't stand up for our convictions, speak out for who we are, what we believe, what happens? It was Minister Peter Marshall who said this, "The person who doesn't stand for something will surely fall for everything." My dad used to say it this way, "Son, there are so many today who don't stand up or speak out for anything. They just go to the middle of the road only just to get along." Son, remember this, the only thing in the middle of the road is yellow stripes and dead armadillos. In other words, get out of the middle of the road. Mighty good words. But it's not our words that make the difference. The difference is in our actions. And on today's program, we're leaving behind the politics, the R's and D's, the differing opinions. We're leaving behind all the, well, double talk we hear from so many. And we're going to hear some great and powerful stories of people who did not just talk. They labored, and they remind us all today how we are to love our labor for our America, the single greatest nation in the world. But before I start the show, let me take a moment and remind us all that as we celebrate this Labor Day by actually not laboring, let us be thankful for those who are faithfully working today, like our police officers, our law enforcement, our firefighters, and all around the world, those serving in our military. Think about it. We can relax today and feel safe, feel protected, because these are standing like shields to protect us. I thank God for our military and these others. Let us never stop praying for and voicing our praise for these. Now, as I was preparing this program, I asked myself this question. What do I believe to be the greatest, the most amazing labor effort in the history of our nation? Wow, I had to think about that one. It was hard. There are so many amazing labor stories. But after a while of my thinking, I concluded that the most amazing single labor effort in our American history, for me, was in July of 1969, when we sent those first men to the moon. Think about it. They put these three guys into, well, a big metal can, and they blew them up with a highly powerful explosive. But instead of being blown into a million pieces, instead they are shot up through the air, out of our atmosphere, and into space, traveling thousands of miles per hour. Amazing. Then, on July the 24th, 1969, as hundreds of millions of people all around America and the world watched and listened and prayed, the smaller can broke off from the bigger can and landed on the moon without crashing. The astronauts had traveled over 238,000 miles from Earth and landed safely on the moon. But that wasn't all. They got out of that metal can wearing heat and cold resistant suits. They walked around, gathered up rocks and samples. They even played golf. Then they got back into that metal can, blew themselves back off the moon, hooked back with the other big can, traveled all the way back to our Earth, and actually hit their return mark and safely parachuted that metal can back down to our Earth. Wow. Amazing. And I can't think of any invention in any time in our history that is more amazing. And I invite you to give me your thought, your greatest invention that maybe you might have witnessed yourself by going to my website, jerrystewartusa.com. But for a job to be important, to be recognized, for a job to be worth doing, does that work of labor need to be like, well, blasting off to the moon? There are some today who lead us to believe that if we want to do big things, we must think big things. But is that always true? Today I'll tell you the story of one man. His name was John. He took upon himself to plant apple trees. He traveled great distances, all by foot, never asking for help from anyone. He labored all his life, and today, over 150 years since John died, people still visit his gravesite to honor him. This is a wonderful story of love and commitment that all should hear. Then there's a story of one American woman. She was President James Madison's wife. Back during the War of 1812, as the British soldiers were working to literally burn down the White House and all of Washington, D.C., this woman, Dolly Madison, took on one very dangerous job, one very important task, and she refused to stop until it was done. And finally, Abraham Lincoln. He is perhaps the truly hardest laborer in the history of our nation. One of the jobs early in his life was to literally split rails by hand. Mr. Lincoln went on to become our president, and his attitude, his determination, his love for America helped save us in our darkest hours. But Mr. Lincoln had a thought, something that he saw as he studied our nation, and he foretold how our America might just be destroyed. Is it possible that we are seeing in America today his words come true? Today, I'll share that with you. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'm taking a break now, but when we return, I'll tell you the amazing story of Johnny Appleseed Chapman after these messages.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. Jerry and I want to thank you for listening today. This may be your first time to hear Jerry tell these stories, or maybe you were one of his first listeners over 20 years ago. Either way, it is important to find stories about America and share these stories with others. Why? To encourage us all to do our own part in keeping America a good and great nation.
It is so important that we use these special holidays in our America to remember, to honor, and to keep clear our vision for a better America. That's what this Labor Day program today is all about. Not just to entertain us, but to use stories from the past to lead and direct us as we go forward. And what's our job? To spread these stories that are being told with your families, your schools, and even churches. So today we have something special to offer. Kelly, what do we have for our listeners today?
We invite you to call our office at 817-995-4607. When you call, you can ask about today's program special offer, an offer Jerry and I have put together just for our listeners to help you and your family as we work together and pray for our America. You can also go to our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com. That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com. Let's all do our own part, and let's get back to praying for America. God bless you.
Thanks, Kelly. Let's make today a special start, a day of prayer, a day of continuing to pray for our America. Our America is worth saving. God bless you all.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Rainey for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
If you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust, or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber, either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
SimpleSystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hello and welcome back to this special Labor Day program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Today we're talking about our America and our great success as a nation. But have you heard some of the talk today? This talk, this idea, how some believe that life in America should today be easy and prosperous. And they're insisting that in return for this easy and prosperous life that we as citizens should have to do, get this, nothing. Yeah, just sit back and have everything laid out to us like candy in a bag. Why, you say? They say it's because America, our American road in the past, has been easy, and it should be the same way today. Easy? I spent the last 30 years of my life studying our American history, and I don't see much easy anywhere. Listen to this story. His name was John Chapman. He was born September 26, 1774. When he was just a child, his father went off to fight in the Revolutionary War. The next year, his mother died. John went to school for a few years, but by the time he was 20, he was working for an apple grower in Pennsylvania. Now, as John worked in this apple orchard, he realized that it was a thing of great beauty and a good business opportunity. Apples were easy to grow and could be stored for a long time. So he bought some land of his own and started his own orchard. But more importantly, he made apple trees available to settlers traveling west so that they could plant them at their new homes. Well, after a while, John became restless and decided to take his apple business on the road. So for the next 5 years, he planted seeds in western Pennsylvania and New York. And when the seedling trees were big enough, he'd sell them. But if someone was poor and had nothing to trade, he'd give the trees for free. He was a very generous man. Soon, he began traveling into other areas like Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, always using this same method. Go into the wilderness, find good soil, plant the seeds in neat rows, build a brush fence to keep the animals out, then move on to another area. He lived at peace with nature and the Indians, and he never carried any protection. He was certainly a colorful fellow with his ragged clothes. He never wore shoes except in the coldest part of winter. Some reports say he wore a pan for a hat, and he was always on the move. And in 1843, when John Chapman was 69 years old, believe it or not, he walked barefoot all the way from Iowa to Pennsylvania, planting apple seeds along the way. There's no telling just how many apple orchards John was responsible for starting, but he died at age 70, and stories begin to crop up about this odd man who devoted his life to growing apples. And eventually, he was given the name, that's right, Johnny Appleseed. And today, engraved on John Chapman's tombstone, are these few simple words: he lived for others. Now, I don't see any easy life there, but Johnny Appleseed, by the way he walked, by the way he talked, by the way he worked, and his selfless attitude, today, people still remember. And that brings us to a bigger question. Just what responsibility do we have regarding the way we conduct ourselves? Think about this. People may doubt what you say, but they'll never doubt what you do. And when you walk, what you talk, well, people listen. Walt Disney said it this way: people look at you and me to see what they are supposed to be. And if we don't disappoint them, maybe, just maybe, they won't disappoint us. Very true. But is growing a successful nation just about work or vocation? Actually, no. The greatness of America, or any nation, is not just about work or vocation. It's more about this ideal of virtue. But just what is virtue? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, virtue is the characteristic of promoting the collective well-being of society, and that our virtues actually originate from our innermost thoughts and desires. Simply said, to successfully function in this world today, each individual must have a deeply rooted core of underlying values that drive and direct who we are. And you know the amazing thing is, anyone can have high virtues. I recently came across the writings of Abigail Adams. She was the wife of our second U.S. President, John Adams. And one of her quotes caught my attention. She said this: "It is not in the calm still of life that great characters are formed. It is in the great necessities of life that call out our great virtues." She went on to say, "When life is easy, when you are safe and peaceful and secure in your circumstance, that is not the place where great character is formed. It is only during times of great hardship and difficulty that you grow in character and learn who you truly are inside." You see, it's not good for everything to just be laid out at our feet. In fact, quite frankly, the worst thing we can do for ourselves and our children is to give them an easy life. There's another president's wife in our American history. Her name was Dolly Madison. She was the first lady and wife of our fourth president, James Madison. Now, it was during the War of 1812 that the British broke through the American defenses and moved their way into Washington, D.C. President Madison was away from the White House, but he gave specific instructions for his wife Dolly and all others to evacuate the White House immediately. But Dolly knew that if the British Army made it into the White House, they would destroy everything. In fact, they wanted to burn the White House down. So, ignoring her own danger, she set out to have many of the American treasures inside the White House removed. Over and over, she was told to evacuate, but she refused. There was one magnificent painting of George Washington she knew must be saved. Here's what happened that day, written in her own words to her sister. She said, "Can you believe it, my sister? We've had a battle, and here I am still. Within sound of the cannons, Mr. Madison comes not. May God protect us."